morning. You know, it's really good to be back with you. But the Jeep invasion was pretty sick, I'll tell you. I found out one thing. Am I turned on? Well, I am, but I'm not. Okay, am I on now? Okay. The one thing I found out, because you want to know this, I know you do. My Jeep doesn't have enough accessories on it. Yeah, no, they never do, and that's right. Just like my bike doesn't have enough on it either. But I'm going to remedy that this year. Okay. So, anyway, it's good to be back with you. You know, we watched you online, but, you know, that's just not the same. It's not the same as being here and experiencing the presence of the Lord. Amen? Are you with me? Okay, it's not the same as just feeling the warmth of God's people. So I encourage any of you, if you're streaming online today or if you're going to this week, to try to get to the church next week because it's a totally new experience, okay? Yeah. All right. We're going to wrap up our series today, I think, anyway, on, well, it's entitled, Yes, You Can Get Out of Your Mess, okay? Say that with me. Yes, you can get out of your mess. All right, and this is part three, which is entitled The Power of Patience. You know, I guess when I'm thinking about it, and I'm really glad you're here this morning because I really think that God has something very special in mind for everybody this morning. And, you know, it could be, it might not be you, I don't know, but it could be the person next to you. So just pray during the service if you would. I believe God wants to touch everybody. Can you say everybody? Everybody. Amen. I believe that I don't care how good you walked in the door, you can walk out better, all right? And I believe as you learn more of the Word of God and put more of that in your heart, when you walk out of the door today, you're going to be different. Amen? Are you with me? Okay. All right. First, I wanted to ask you a question. How many of you have experienced, or how many even know, that the enemy will challenge your faith when you use it? Amen. Amen. He tries to come against you. He does whatever he can. Secondly, and I'm going to switch up the subject completely, but how many of you know that there are things that are commonly said and commonly quoted by both believers and non-believers alike that sound like they came from the Bible, but they don't come from the Bible? All right? And these sayings, just like that, they sound so good. They might even speak to your situation, but they can't be found in the Word of God. Things like this, okay? Are you ready? Cleanliness is next to godliness. No, that's not in there. It's a good idea. Please follow it. But it's not in there. This one. When someone dies, God gets another angel. I'm sorry, we're not angels, okay? We never will be. Whether we're alive or whether we're gone, okay? So God does not get another angel when someone dies. This one's really good. God wants me happy. I'm sorry. You won't find that either because what he wants is you to be full of joy because joy is immovable. Amen? Come on. Come on. All right, I like this one too. God moves in mysterious ways. Yeah. Yeah. Well, read his word. Okay, then maybe you won't think that the way that he is moving is so mysterious. Maybe you'll have some idea of who God is. All right. All things are acceptable because it's moderation in all things. I'm sorry. You can try to interpret that scripture that way, but that's not what it's saying. Okay. And then this one. I really like this one. God only helps those who help themselves. He only helps those who help themselves. And one of the things that I want to do today is to kind of debunk, if you will, one of these often said sayings that so many of us use. So right now, would you turn to James chapter 1, verse 3. It's really quiet in here today. You know, I like to think that maybe that's because you're listening. But I also like to think you like it so you make noise. Amen? Amen. So make some noise. Gary, make some noise. That's all we heard. That's all we heard of the Jeep invasion. Make some noise. What we should have done was every time he said make some noise, we just should have went quack, 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 quack. Okay. Okay, James chapter 1, verse 3. James says this, knowing that the testing of your faith produces what?
Patience.
Patience. James is about to teach us a very strong biblical truth in the next few verses. Something that's so important, something that's so necessary, if you will, that the enemy has been fighting the establishment of this truth in believers right from the start. Why don't you stand with me? We'll repeat our Bible declaration so we can get going and I can maybe talk. Are you ready?
Ready.
I'm glad you are. All right, lift your Bible up and say this with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess my mind is alert, my heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living Word of God. I'll never be the same. I believe it. I receive it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated. Gary, before you're seated, would you come up and pray for the message, please?
Yes, and not only was it make some noise, but let's give it up for Pastor Wes.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's just give it up. Quack,
and
quack,
let's pray
quack.
And give it up. Let's give it up to God. Thank you, Lord. God, thank you for your presence in this place. God, I thank you for your power that goes along with your presence. Lord, as Pastor preaches today, God, as he speaks your word, I thank you that it's just gonna just hit us, Lord, to just enter our hearts, enter our minds. God, that we would grab a hold of it, that we would keep it, Lord, that we won't just hear it in this place and walk out forgetting, God, but that we'll walk out and live it as we leave. God, right now we give you permission to do whatever you need to do in each one of us. God, we open ourselves up for you right now just to pour into us with your word. God, and receive the praise and receive the honor, receive the glory. For all of it, in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. You know, honestly here, now, we are so blessed as an assembly because out of the 1,000 times or whatever plus that I've preached here, we've always had the presence of God. And I know some of you may argue that, but I'm just going to tell you right now, and I feel impressed to tell you, you aren't going to feel the presence of God if you've come in here just to go to church or because your wife has told you you need to be here, your husband has told you you need to be here, and all you're doing is waiting until I finally say that's all I have for you today. And I'm being serious here right now. The only way that you're going to feel the presence of God is if you look for it.
Amen.
Amen. And there's something about expecting and expecting God to move. I love that song, last song that we sang, you know, where it says dead things come alive and what was that? Anyway, that wasn't a person, was it? All right. But what I'm trying to say to you is, you know, it's so easy just to come to church and to sit down and to get distracted over this or over that or over anything. and not really look for the presence of God, not really expect him to do anything. And I have noticed that the times that I've expected him to move, he does. Amen? Come on. And I was just telling you about the song, Dead Things Come Alive. That's not it. I Know a Name, I think. You know, I used to, when I was having trouble with my stomach, and we'd sing that song, I'd sing that song to my stomach, you know. I'd say, Dead Things Come Alive. Do you hear that? Dead things come alive. And I'm telling you right now, it's time to come alive, okay? And I believe with all my heart, and God did make that happen, and everything turned out wonderful. But there's something about expecting and believing God right here. There's something about expecting and believing God to do something that makes a difference in your life. So this morning, you know, when I said that I think that, you know, God wants to do something special in your lives, expect it. Amen? Expect it. Don't sit there and think, oh, that's probably for the person over there, this one over there that worships so hard, and they must really need God, you know. Are you with me? Do you understand? Okay, I'm going to read James chapter 1, verse 3 again. It says this. It says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. If you've been declaring by faith, if you will, that you're going to, let's say, receive a healing, okay, or be financially blessed because you're a giver and you're a tither, or that you're going to be more loving and more kind towards other people, and so on. If you're believing something in faith, you need to know this truth, okay? God hears you. Amen? Come on. God hears you. And that's really a good thing. That's a fantastic thing. But you need to know this truth also. The enemy hears you. The enemy hears you, which is not a good thing, nor a fantastic thing. And because the enemy hears you, you can be sure that he and his cohorts, which are like demons on assignment, how many of you know about those demons on assignment? Come on. Come on. Okay. Those demons on assignment are going to put your claims and your declarations to the test. It's going to happen. To see whether or not you're going to stay in faith, to see whether or not you're going to live up to what you say that you confess that you believe. Okay, I didn't get healed the first time I talked to my stomach, okay? But I kept doing it and I kept doing it. You know what? And it hurt really, really, really bad. But I kept doing it. And no matter what. And for some reason, God in his faithfulness, he moves. Does that make sense to you this morning?
Yes.
I think that's one of the things that we as Christians do so well. We find a scripture to stand on it. We stand on it for a week. Nothing happens, and we walk away from it. You don't want to do that, okay? Because the enemy will always put to the test what you confess, okay? The enemy will always put to the test what you... Say that with me. The enemy will always put to the test what you confess. Amen. So please don't be surprised when he attempts to strike out against you or burden you with things like sickness, okay, because you've been confessing divine health, all right, or draining your finances because you've been tithing. Or maybe he'll send a stream of obnoxious people your way because your confession is to love people more fully. Have you ever had that happen? Where you're just going to be better, and there's these people. Nobody here. There's these people that show up in your life. But it's because he's bent on putting to the test what you confess. He's bent on that. And your confession of faith will almost always normally trigger, if you will, a negative response from the enemy. That's just the way it is. It's what you and I have to look forward to as a child of the king, okay? Satan hates the king. So it's no surprise that he hates you and I as well. But the thing about it is we have to understand and realize we win, amen? We win. And we don't have to lose heart, and we don't have to give up or fear or throw in the towel just because this is a part of our new life. Definitely not. Say definitely not.
Definitely not.
Definitely not. Because no matter what he throws at us, we can't stop confessing what we believe. Why? Because our confession is of great importance. It is. What we say is very, very important. Because what we confess will help us get out of our mess, all right? That's true. What we confess will help us get out of our mess. And what we confess is who we are and what we believe. And there's power in what we say. Amen. I think I read that somewhere. There's power, you know, power of life and death is where? In the tongue. So you want to watch that, right? Are you with me? But it's to our advantage, truthfully, if we look at every form of opposition that's coming from the enemy as an opportunity to prove and authenticate our faith. Why? Because when you choose to push back against the enemy's attacks, there's something supernatural that happens, okay? And it's biblical. It works patience within us. Now, we have been told, or should I say, we've been warned, okay? You know, one thing you never want to do, you know, don't ever ask God for patience. Never ask him for patience, right? Why? Why? Because God will send your way this plethora of terrible things to develop patience in your life. You'll be terribly tested and tried and tempted. And when it's all done, and then we'll all rejoice because God has finally worked patience within your life by using terrible things to hurt you, and they will eventually train you, so you shouldn't be upset with that. You know, I hope we're past that point. Amen? I just really hope we're past that point of knowing whether or not God gives us good things or bad things. That's what I've been preaching for the last 3-4 weeks, you know, that the only good and perfect gifts come down from the Father of lights, you know, in whom there is no shadow of turning. In other words, he doesn't change. If he liked to give good things way back when, he likes to give good things now, okay? He doesn't just say, oh, enough of the good stuff, here comes the bad stuff, you know? All right. Please hear me, okay? That's one of those good old religious sayings that are just not true and that are just not in the Bible. But Pastor, it sounds so good. I mean, don't ask God for patience, you know, because he will give you things that'll really test you. But that's not in the Bible, all right? Come on. It's not in the Bible. It might sound good, but it does more damage than it has ever done good. And you might ask me why I say that. Well, it's because if you believe that good old religious saying, don't ever ask God for patience, you'll never seek, you'll never ask, nor will you ever walk in the power that patience brings. Because all you can think of doing is pushing patience away from you. Never ask God for that. Okay. All right, now I want you to say this with me, but only if you believe it. Okay? But only if you believe it. And I'm going to be watching everyone. No, I'm not. God is good.
God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
And all the time.
All the time.
God is good.
God is good.
To who?
To me.
To me. Now I'm going to give you one more chance that if you were, you know, not paying attention, you can just say it anyway. God is good.
God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
To who?
To me.
To me. We've got to believe that. And we have learned over the past number of weeks that there are some things that God always does, and there are some things that God never does, right? Okay. And something that he always does is he always gives good gifts, say good gifts. He always gives good gifts to his children repeatedly, okay? There's a scripture in Matthew 7, verses 9 through 11, you can turn there if you want, where Jesus himself makes this confession. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? Now understand and you get the gist of this, okay? You don't give bad things to those that you love, all right? All right. Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven, Jesus is talking about God here, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Now, the one thing I want to do for you right now, I want to give you the Greek definition of good. Are you ready?
Ready.
It's good. All right? I'll give you the English definition of good. It's good. Okay? It's not, well, you might not know if it's really good. It's good, okay? Without a doubt, we don't have to be afraid to ask God for anything. The truth is, Patience is something that you want God to work within you and without you and in all of you. Say, I want it, will you? Just make me feel good. Say, I want it. So we can make this statement, right? Pushing back against the attacks of the enemy produces empowerment in the form of patience. Amen? Amen. Again, let's read James 1, chapter 1, verse 3. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. The word produces or worketh, as it says in the King James, is the Greek word, and I'm really going to try not to butcher this because this is a big one, okay? Katergazomai, all right? Which is a compound of two words, the word kata, which describes something that comes down or dominates, and the word ergazomai, which means work or energy. When you put these two words together, it describes something that starts at the top, okay, and works down to the bottom, thoroughly, truly, working throughout your entire being. So when you get patience, okay, it fills all of you. It changes all of who you are. It describes a person who's been supernaturally energized. And I think this ought to get you excited this morning. It describes a person who's been supernaturally energized from the top of their being to the bottom of their being, on the inside and the outside. Man, I want that. Amen? I want that. But what does that really mean? What does it mean to you and I? When you choose to push back against the enemy's attack, a divine empowerment takes place in your life, okay? Takes place within you, which begins at the top of your head and works its way down to and through your feet. In other words, it's all of you. Notice I'm repeating myself a lot. I want you to get that. It's all of you, okay? The Bible calls this supernatural empowerment, if you will. Are you ready? Are you ready for this? Okay. The Bible calls it, guess what? Patience. Yeah, you wouldn't want to ask God for that, would you? Yeah. Now, the word patience is a Greek word hupomone, okay, which again is a compound word of hupo, which means to be under, and then the word meno, which means to abide or stay. When you put these two words together, it pictures a person defiantly sticking to it for the long haul, regardless of pressures that are mounted against them. I want to be that person. Amen? I want to be that person. The word also means staying power. It's the attitude that holds out and holds on and outlasts and hangs in there when everything within you wants to quit. It's a never give up kind of power, a persevering power, and it refuses to surrender to any kind of obstacle or any kind of power, and it turns down every opportunity to quit. Wow. Wow. Seriously now, I mean, would to God that we would actually be that person that turns down, say turns down, every opportunity to throw in the towel and quit. Too often, we quit just before it's about to get brighter. Are you with me? This word also depicts someone who is under a heavy load but refuses to break or bend or surrender. And that, my friend, is what patience is and what it produces in our lives. When you really sum it all up, patience is really a form of endurance, all right? Every time you choose to stand and fight against the enemy's attacks instead of succumbing to them and falling to sin, every time you trust and speak God's word, this is big, okay? Instead of focusing on what is overwhelming you and giving that situation that's overwhelming you power by talking about it, come on, you know what I'm talking about here. And giving that situation that's overwhelming you power, or giving power to what you see or feel emotionally, you can be energized by divine patience or by God-given patience. Yeah, yeah. No matter what you do, okay? No matter what you do, don't ask God for patience, right? You wouldn't want to do that. You wouldn't want to be supernaturally empowered to stand against all these things. You wouldn't want to do that. Now, what do you think about asking God for patience? Don't you think it would be a good idea? Don't you think it'd be a good idea to do that instead of falling to the old wives' tale or the old adage or whatever you want to call it that says, don't ask God for patience? I think we should ask him for patience. Are you with me? Okay. Then James went on to say this in verse 4. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. All right? Perfect and complete, lacking nothing. The word perfect that's used in this verse isn't really describing the quality per se of something. It's not saying it's really great, it's wonderful. It's describing something that's complete. All right? So you will be complete. All right? It's a derivative of a Greek word which means that patience will bring you into a stage of spiritual completeness or spiritual maturity. I don't know about you, but I want to be in that place of spiritual maturity. I mean, that's something that I strive for, and I don't really even know what it looks like because I'm always learning. And the more I'm learning, the more I'm realizing how much I still have to learn. But I want to be spiritually mature. You know what one of the ways that you can show your spiritual maturity? You might want to write this down. It's pretty profound, all right? Just be nice to people. You know, I really like that guy. He's a Christian. Boy, he's a jerk. That doesn't even go together, you know? Well, I happen to know a few people that, not in this room, a few people that aren't very nice but call themselves spiritually mature Christians. But it'll also make you what the Bible calls complete. Okay, that's the next word, which is a translation of a Greek word that depicts a family or an individual who possesses everything originally allotted to them by receiving an inheritance. Do you understand what I said? Okay. This word is a picture of someone who hasn't lost anything that's been given to them, and they're standing in their full inheritance. Now, just stay with me here. How many of you know that through Jesus Christ, and because he is our brother, okay, are you with me? You and I have a rich and a full and a fantastic, wonderful inheritance. Often I tell people, well, they ask me, when are you going to retire? It might not be right away, but the plan is really good. You know, the retirement plan is really good. Maybe what I've done in my life hasn't been tremendously lucrative, but when it's all said and done, I got a great plan. Amen? Amen. Amen. Our inheritance, so, well, what does that include? What are you talking about? Things like healing, things like deliverance, things like prosperity, peace, and joy, okay? Those are things that our inheritance that we have. Healthy relationships and countless blessings there's too many to really even talk about. But in order to receive the full inheritance, we have to allow God's divine patience or endurance to continue to work in our lives, okay? If you want something to work in your life and it doesn't seem to be happening in your life, what do? You go to God in prayer. You ask him for it. You believe him for it. But don't go to God and ask for patience, okay? Because then you'd be supernaturally empowered and spiritually mature. So don't ask him for patience. As you do this, okay, as you stand in that, James says you will be not only perfect and complete, but he says something that I think that all of us would love to be, and that's lacking nothing. Amen. Lacking nothing. The word lacking nothing is a derivative of the Greek word lipo, which describes a deficiency of any kind, okay? So as you make a decision to jump into joy, okay, which is something we talked about in this series, and stay in faith, when you come to the place where you're trusting and standing on the Word of God and allowing patience to work inside of you, and I want to encourage you this morning, ask God for patience. And if you're afraid that he's going to give you stuff you can't handle, that was another one I probably should have put in there. God won't give you anything you can't handle. That's not what that scripture's talking about, okay? There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also offer a way of escape so that you will be able to bear it. Okay, that's what it's talking about. It's not talking about, what I'm going through, Yeah, it's God said okay. Help me, help me. Now, what I've given you is all Bible, okay? It's not my opinion. It's not what I thought. I've got like another 5 pages of notes, but I really think I'm going to stop there because I know what happens when a preacher gives you too much information. You just don't remember any of it, okay? So I would rather stop right now and have it be a little bit shorter and have you remember that patience is something you should want. Patience is something that you should desire. But the enemy, over the years, has taken good and nice and wonderful people, and they've said, and I know you've said it, and I've said it, you don't want to ask for patience, right? Don't want to ask for patience because, boy, you'll really go through some stuff. That isn't true. That's one of those old adages. It isn't true. So I just encourage you to ask God for patience because what you're asking for is the divine, supernatural empowerment and maturity that only comes from God. Amen? Amen. Amen. See, now I'm faced with the decision. Do I go on or do I stop? Yeah, I think I stop. Okay. Why don't you pray with me?